now your host, Michael Redding, and the co-host, Matt Parasini. It's showtime!
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm Michael Redding, and we've got a whole room full of people. I'll let Matt go ahead and introduce himself.
Hello, guys. I hope my mic's going to make it. I'm having microphone issues, so let me know if I go deaf here again on you.
Then we got Willie in here, and then we've got a special guest, Samuel Stubbs, with Below the Yellow Line podcast. Welcome to the show, Samuel.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, before we get the show started, got to pay a few bills here. Star One Racing in Searcy, Arkansas wants you to know they are now building cart lifts and stackers. So stop breaking those backs, lifting those carts, and contact Patrick Kubishik today at 501-236-1259 or stop by their trailer pit side at a track you're attending. Blading Now. Do you have a washed out driveway? Or maybe you've been looking to widen that driveway, maybe even need that shop or garage approach worked on. Contact Blady now at 870-613-2922 and ask Jake Pinkston about your free estimate. He services the independent Stone, Izzard, Sharp, Cleburne, and Jackson counties here in the great state of Arkansas. All right, fellas.
Oh, we lost him.
We lost Michael. all right. Well, while we wait for him to get back, I guess we'll get into there he is. I don't know where'd you go.
I froze up on me.
We got McDonald's Wi-Fi and Dairy Queen.
Pretty much. It's kind of a rough night here. All right. Well, I guess we'll start because we missed last week's show. So we're going to start with a review Cup of Texas. Elliot gets off the winless bandwagon, shows some muscle and wins Texas. Michael, you called that one right on the head.
I did. I said, Chase Elliott was going to be the one to watch, and sure enough, he pulled it off.
He did. He absolutely did. Overall thoughts, I was pretty, Chase had a good run, I think. I think Larson had the car to beat until they forgot to tighten the wheel up. You don't tighten the wheel up. Somehow it stayed on for 20-some laps under green, which I still...
Oh, did it? I thought it was right after pit road.
No, it stayed on for like 20 laps under green, and then they had a caution, and then it fell off.
Oh. That's a high-dollar pit crew for you.
Oh, what, really? We're going to go down that route?
Wow. so that was a bit interesting, but I guess my vantage point is when I'm talking about the Texas race and cup in general, the drivers are complaining about the racetrack, which means it's putting on good racing. So I'm all for it.
Texas is a track you can't go over the line, and Denny Hamlin and Michael McDowell both went over the line. They went past that point where it's either I'm going to make the move and probably get in clean air to win the race, or I'm going to wreck myself. And guess what? They wrecked themselves.
Yep.
That's my own opinion on it. It was just kind of like, watch the race. It was right on the ragged edge. A lot of guys were saying, it's not easy. And it's not supposed to be easy. These are cup. These are the best guys, best drivers in the world. It's not supposed to be easy. And you know what? I was impressed. I think we need that PJ1 that's still embedded in the track to wear out just a little bit more. But I'm a lot more entertained at Texas than I have been in a while. But Texas still did show its ugly face because Reddick got up to, what was it, like an 8.5-second lead until they messed up the tire change, I think it was, on the last bit. So... there's still some, I'd say, work that needs to be done. If that's the right word for it. Overall, probably one of the better Texas races.
Don't make it Atlanta. Please don't make it Atlanta. We don't need another one.
I don't want them to touch it. I think it needs to go another year or two, and let's see what happens. Because it's starting to come into its own now, I think.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on it, Sam?
Before... this race, I kind of would have been on the opposite side of you, Willie. I would have said, at this point, just condemn it, bulldoze it, or make it Atlanta. This race changed my mind. I think we're seeing To make a good racetrack, especially like a track like Texas that had recently been repaved, you need age on it. You need to let it have some time, have some races, have some years. I think we saw in the Xfinity race, like it's not as bad as it was a couple of years ago where you literally just could not pass. We all remember that horrendous all-star race. And then the race in the fall where Goodyear just decided to not make a tire that was, could stay intact longer than two laps. But it was the best Texas race in a while. Now that's relative on a Texas scale. You know, is it a race I want to have every weekend where you have 10 cars wrecking out? No, but I think, like y'all said, you know, it's good that the drivers are complaining about it. They complained about old Atlanta a little bit from a driving perspective because, you know, it was sketchy. When you have a sketchy track, that means guys are going to make mistakes. Mistakes equals passing. Passing equals good racing. So I enjoyed it more than I've enjoyed a Texas race in a while. Is it, you know, a top 15 track on the schedule? I'd argue no, but it's getting there. It's getting better. And that's the thing. We just want to see improvement from it. So best Texas race in a while. That's, again, on a relative scale, but I enjoyed it.
You got with that asphalt age.
I don't know. What was that? Well, the asphalt's got to age. That's what Willie was saying, is the asphalt's got to age. But, you know, my big thing was, is I think Texas was the last track that they paved that they didn't use that newer technology that they used at Atlanta.
That makes it age?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys would all agree. Atlanta, what was it? It was repaved for 22.
Yeah.
When I saw it in the spring race this year, that track, by color wise, looked like it could have been 10 years older.
Mm-hmm. And they've already did some patchwork too.
And mm-hmm. and the drivers were already saying that, you know, handling was becoming a real big issue already, and we're only like, you know, year two. I think that gives some promise for sure. I know that they did Wilkesboro in the same pavement, so, and the drivers were all saying the second groove was coming in during the tire test, so.
Here's my thoughts. If they're going to do anything, it would make sense for them to move the wall down. It don't need to be that wide racing area. If you bring the wall down to where that third groove's at, I think you would see some better racing. Narrow that track up a little bit, and you'll get better racing.
Well, they don't use all the real estate anyway.
Right.
I think right now the track is that narrow because that PJ1, I know the guys were still saying that PJ.
Yeah, they didn't have it.
If they got anywhere above that and it was kind of shiny, if they got above it, it was like. I thought, was it one of the best races we'll ever see in our lives? No. But for Texas, I would say. However, we're going to go to Michael. Do you have the rundown there for that Texas race for Cup?
I do. Chase Elliott was your winner. Brad Keselowski was second. William Byron third. Tyler Reddick fourth. Daniel Suarez fifth. Chase Briscoe sixth. Bubba Wallace seventh. Austin Dillon eighth. Kyle Busch ninth. And Carson Hocevar rounded out your top 10.
And we don't have to talk anything else about what happened on the last lap of that race. So we'll continue. Sam Mayer wins in one of the closest finishes in Xfinity history over Ryan Sieg at Texas. Man, I was pulling for Ryan Sieg so hard to win that race. But damn, Sam earned it. That's all I'll say. Sam earned it. It was a great finish.
He did.
Absolutely great finish.
Ryan Sieg needs to go down and get some and learn how to put guys in the wall a little bit better. I love
his expert opinion.
That's your only chance for a win right here. You know, put him in the wall and get yourself in the playoffs, and then you can start gambling a little bit.
How do you do that though when you're on the outside? Or
he was on the inside.
Well, I know, but how do you do that? How do you stop the guy without? Literally dumping them off the corner. I mean, that's the only way you're going to
widen your exit.
He did. He hit the wall. Sam did hit the wall coming off four.
Look, Brett Griffin said it perfect. He said it perfect. It Ryan C. got really, really nervous about five to go and was making every mistake he could make possible. He had a huge lead, and, like, he was missing corners and washing up.
Mirror driving.
But he also had older tires than Sam, too, and I think the tires finally hit that magic number where the tires started to give him.
All that, you mean that Xfinity tire that the Cup Series won't ever get?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Appreciate it, Bruno.
Well, what are you guys' thoughts? I mean,
I didn't get to watch it.
Well, I know. Well, you should be watching it. You're doing a podcast about a NASCAR race.
Well, I also got a side gig on the side, too, doing announcing.
Watch the 10-minute replay at least, then.
All right. Y'all ready for the rundown?
Well, I don't know. Anybody else got any opinions on that race?
Sorry. Overstepped.
No, I'll go ahead with the rundown.
Oh, I'll go with the rundown, then.
You got anything there, Sam, you want to add?
The one thing I will say is that I do think C got nervous. I don't know if it was the tire. I don't know if it was nerves. But when he pulled away and got to that lead, he was stuck to the bottom. That car was on rails. And then 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, last lap, he just keeps inching up and inching up. And with like three to go, I said, Sam Mayer's got this race won. Because, I mean, he has more experience racing for wins. Sieg was washing up. And on the last lap, if Mayer was within half a second, he was going to win that race. Sieg just doesn't. I mean, it's not a thing against his talent. It's just when you don't have experience going for wins, stuff like that's going to bite you. And it bit him only by 0.02 of a second. But it just, I mean, it's just how the cookie crumbled for him. Gutted for him, though.
Once he got that whiff of that draft, that was basically it.
Oh, yeah. It was like you throwing a hook out and getting hook on the bumper and like, I'm coming now, you know, I'm reeling him in.
Yeah,
it was over for Mayer. I really wanted the little guy need to win there.
Yeah,
you know, and everybody was pulling for him. But again, when you're coming to the line, I would have stuffed him as far in that fence as possible.
No, I would have too. Yeah.
But I mean,
Willie, you would stuff anybody in the fence to win a race.
His iRacing talent says otherwise.
That's why I ain't picked a wheel up in about 4 months either. The wheel is right here, cranked down.
All right, here's your top 10. Sam Mayer was your winner. Ryan Sieg, second. Justin Allgaier, third. AJ Allmendinger, fourth. Cole Custer, fifth. Austin Hill, sixth. Ryan Truex, seventh. Sammy Smith, 8th, Jesse Love, 9th, and Anthony Alfredo with another top 10.
Old pasta.
Pasta, yeah. Oh, yeah, old pasta. All right, well, we'll move on from Texas. We're going to head to Talladega. Cup review. I love my headline. I think it's perfect. Reddick wins after McDowell pulls a Logano-style block. And wrecks half the field coming to the checkered flag.
That is spot on, 100% accurate right there.
You know what he can do with that banner?
You cannot go from New York City all the way down to Florida in a matter of moments, okay?
Hey, but you know what that move did do? It cost you some money.
Yeah, it did cost you some money. That move did cost you some money. Oh, man.
And I was praying it was going to happen, too, because I wasn't ready to pay you.
Let me tell you something. Watching that race right there, last lap, I already knew Michael Padel wasn't going to win that race. Watching that, I knew he wasn't going to win. I even thought when he got out that far, I'm like, you better be drag the brake. What are you doing? And then he just pulled like a Logano. I mean, look. It's like TJ Majors was spotting for Michael McDowell right there. I mean,
jeez. How many more people are you trying to piss off before you get done your rant there? Because you're doing a good job.
Let me bring one thing up because he did send in the message that all Joey will be wrecked out. It wasn't long after he said that.
Joey was under the picture.
Well, he may not have been in the picture, but I'll tell you, Joey was in the picture. That 43 car smashed up against the wall with Bubba Wallace.
That was his teammate. That was a 42's fault, that one. I'm sure we're going to get to that. Oh, man.
Well, we'll get to it now. I mean, you know, we're at the point now where we're going to review the race. My takeaways is that, okay, we had a great last lap. Well, I mean, McDowell. I mean,
what's up, Daniel?
It's nice that, you know, somebody wants to emulate Joey Logano and how they race on a restricted plate track. I mean, you know, I mean that's nice praise from McDowell. I mean, what can I say there? But why the in the
cars
world,
are matching, right? They're both yellow.
Why in the world are we running three wide and we're running a second and a half slower in the pack than we're qualifying? Oh, like
it was. Look,
fuel saving.
That was embarrassing. Oh. That's your third restrictor plate race where it's embarrassing. Okay, Daytona was embarrassing. Then you had Atlanta was decent. Don't get me wrong, that was decent. Okay, that's probably your best super speedway race. And then you had Talladega, which it's the drivers is just holding a wheel, and you got engineers one controlling the race. I need you to hit a 52 flat here. Need you to hit a 52 flat. You know, they've got it. That's brilliant. Don't get me wrong, it's brilliant. But it's Jeff Gluck's pro is trending toward a good race, and everybody's basing it off a last lap.
Well, here's my thought. I like that race. I like the way it plays out. It ain't till the end whenever anything needs to get exciting.
Then make it 10 laps.
Well, tell NASCAR to do it, and then we'll all be happy. I just like how it all develops.
Here's my question for you. Would you rather see three wide at 173 miles an hour, or would you rather see 188 laps of high side choo-choo train at 195?
I want to see the three lane wide
than single file around the bottom or around the top, or, you know, in the infield choo-choo train. That racing is just appalling to me. I'd rather see fuel saving and three wide at 170 than, you know, 190 one lane.
I guess where my argument comes in with this whole thing is that this boils down to 100% again, Goodyear and tires.
No, I agree with that. 100%. I don't necessarily love the fuel saving, but no, I'm just saying.
No, but like that's where my complaint comes with it, because it's like if we can run two stages and basically not change tires, tires are way too good.
Tires yep. Yeah, first two stops way, off fuel only.
The tires are way, way, way too good. Now, I get it. We're at a high-speed racetrack and everything like that, and I understand those circumstances, but like, there's no handling coming.
How do we get away
from it? There's no handling coming in. Well, if you don't have handling,
yeah,
and all you are is wide-open throttle and everything like that, the fuel savings never going to go away, because if you have it where, okay, the car is going to start misbehaving, not handling after 30 or 35 laps with the tires that are on it, now all of a sudden, the fuel savings thing becomes, well, do we save and not change tires, or do we go like nuts because now we can run half a second or a second lap faster with the fresher tires, and potentially now you change the tires, fill it up, change the tires, and now you've got an advantage. And that's, you know, Bristol this year, I keep coming back to Bristol because it was like we had that extreme tire wear. Now, granted, that was more than we need to see, but look at the direction that it went and what happened during that race. We've been missing that for years. We've been missing that aspect for years, and that's the problem. Like, I get Talladega is not a high wear tire wear racetrack, but it's like
it should be with the asphalt so old.
It should be.
And, yeah, it's almost 20 years old at this point, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Close. But it's like,
at this point, I'm like, what do we have to do? Do we have to go and make it where the stages, like especially the stages, where it's like you shorten the stage up to the point where it's like if you run full, absolutely wide open, you can make it on one stop.
Rodney Childers said it perfect. On super speedways, why don't you give it four stages where you almost make them have to race it out completely. And not, okay, we're going to fuel stop. Okay, we're going to have to save fuel so we could split it in half, basically, right? So we go our full fuel run, and then we stop, and then make her run to the end. But something's got to give. Either put a 6-gallon fuel cell in it or make them where they spot never 15 laps or something has got to give, because that, I'm gonna tell you something, that was a boring three wide. Everybody said, well, they running, you know, I even said it before the race started. I said, how many laps do they get single file? Well, they proved me wrong and said, no, we're not going single file. We're just going to do a three wide pace lap for, you know, two stages.
But that's where I wonder, it's like, if we just go and it's like, okay, when it comes to stages of super speedway races, they fuel tank can go 42 laps on a tank of fuel. So we're going to make the stage 45, or we're going to make it 40.
Well, you do it 45, okay. They're going to stretch it. They're going to fuel save.
Who's going to stretch it? And who's going to fuel save? Because you could potentially stretch to 45, but maybe you can't.
They need a Jesse Love fuel tank.
Yeah, I don't know where
you can tank.
But that's what I'm saying, though. If we made the stages where it was like they can run 100% the whole time for the first two stages, and we call it a stage, then it's like, great. So we get the first 80 laps out of the way in a hurry, and now we've got the last 110 to deal.
Or don't stop for stages. Just calculate the points and then keep on going.
I don't know. I think it's something that they need to address, but I do agree with Sam. It is more entertaining to watch them go three wide, 2 seconds slower than qualifying.
All it takes is one mess up, and everybody's happy because they're wrecking. I mean, that's the only reason why they watch Talladega and Daytona.
Well, if you're wrecking to doing a pace lap fuel savings, then something wrong.
Well, I don't know. It seems like if you're Bubba Wallace and
they was hammered down.
I'm not blaming Bubba on this one. I'm just saying.
No, like that's John Hunter.
If you're Bubba Wallace at a super speedway race, it's either you're going to basically finish first, second, or third, or you're going to wreck. That seems to be his luck.
As a Bubba Wallace fan, I can attest to that. That seems how it is almost every week at this point. Like, he's either going to run top five or dude's going to, I mean, I don't know. It's ridiculous.
It could be a Zane Smith and not even see the car in front of you and then, you know.
Or speed on pit road and then speed when you come to serve your penalty like he did yesterday.
But that's what I mean with Bubba Wallace. It's like, at a restricted place track, it's like, I always like to put him in my fantasy because, you know, but the problem is that it's a 50-50 shot, whether you're going to score big on your fantasy or like I did and I got 1 point.
I had McDowell.
I had Bubba in mine yesterday too. And man, I was a little disappointed, but
I don't even know who won fantasy. I didn't even watch it.
That would be you. Yeah, that would have been.
Because they went and readjusted some points.
Well, don't pull that again. No.
You were down at the bottom before it was all said and done.
How'd they go adjust the points?
They adjusted Daniel Suarez and Kyle Busch's
finishing.
Well, they flipped it. Really? One position, you go flip it?
And it adjusted the points out big time in fantasy, too.
How would it 1 point adjust? How would 1 point go back and
Well, when we get to fantasy, we'll figure it out. But Michael?
Arkansas, Razorback. Yeah.
Don't worry. We know you're salty because we got Kentucky's coach.
You now, can have the little.
Hey, racing podcast, basketball. Sometimes it's like trying to keep them two separated like this. I mean, what do you do?
All right. Tyler Reddick was your winner.
Thank you.
I tell you what, what wedding is Brad going to? Because he's had so many bridesmaids this year. He's like,
Noah Gregson was third. Ricky Stenhouse was fourth. Alex Bowman was fifth. Anthony Alfredo was sixth. William Byron seventh. Todd Gilliland eighth. Daniel Hemric ninth. And Harrison Burton was your top 10.
You can tell we're at Super Speedway.
I don't.
Why do we bring you on? But anyway, regardless, we know you're an Eric Jones fan, and I do have to take.
Okay. Go ahead. I see a big adjustment in a lineup in the finishing order that was different.
Okay.
For sure.
So, just want to say, hopefully we get a good update on Eric Jones. That was a pretty scary wreck.
He was released from UAB.
Hospital, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you hear a driver after he hits the wall, and I heard that radio transmission from him, that was pretty
Hey, it reminds you of another 43 driver, Eric Almirola, when he hit the wall.
Yeah. Looked very similar to Dale Earnhardt.
It did.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty, that was pretty wicked hit.
Look, if it's me, I'm sorry to say, as an Eric Jones fan, I am not strapping in and going to Dover as my first race back from a hit like that. There's no, that's the most, between that one and Bristol, it's the most G-force track that NASCAR goes to, because you're going down basically wide open, going down a hill.
If he's got any kind of back injury, Dover is not exactly where you'd want to be going for you.
No, just put Chandler in the car and let's go.
Andler?
It's going to be Chandler or Sheldon Creed.
Chandler Smith.
I'd rather go Chandler Smith.
Yeah. What are you talking about? But I mean, like, you could put Eric Almirola in the car. They could put Eric Almirola in.
We're going to get there to Sheldon Creed. I agree that Chandler is probably the better driver of the two to put in. But we'll get to Sheldon Creed because this is going to be funny when we get to Xfinity. Because, look who won. Sheldon Creed's old car won.
Smoky Unic fuel cell.
Oh, yeah, Smoky Unic fuel cell.
Oh my
God. To go back to the scoring loop, Michael McDowell's 31st. Joey Logano was 30th, and they now have him 19th. It's got it all jumbled up here, so that's how all that got readjusted.
How much did y'all have to pay him?
We didn't pay him a dime.
Had to do something to jump up 11 spots.
Well, it's also going to change our points out really big too, because I got more points.
Yeah,
it ain't gonna make the last race.
Anyway, I can't remember who remembers how many laps he went on fuel. Jesse did, because it was like, I wasn't it like
53, 54?
Oh, no,
something
way.
Like that.
No way.
I don't know.
It was a crazy.
It's incredible.
That car should have went back to R&D. You should have tore that car completely down.
That might be the only way Ford gets a win this season in a series, if they DQ the winner.
Is that really correct that Ford has not got a win
Ford
in any dadgum series?
Ford has, they have the defending champs in all three series with Blaney, Custer, and Rhodes. They ain't won a race in the top three series. They didn't win the duel. They didn't win the clash. They ain't won anything.
Let me tell you something. Wow. Ford is not invested in motorsports. They are not invested that much in motorsports.
Doesn't seem like it.
It's declining super. You only got what?
Oh, we lost him.
I muted him.
You muted him.
but let's be honest. I mean, like, they only got two cars legitimately besides Haley Deegan and AM Racing in the Xfinity series. So their to win is not very good there.
They got Ryan C too.
They should have won then.
Yeah, he is for any
runner up in Xfinity 2 weeks in a row for Ford, because I think Herbst was P2. So,
hey, see,
bridesmaid.
Hey, see, yeah, he might have got the bridesmaid or whatever at Texas, but at the end of the day, their team took home the 100K in the dash for cash
with the 17th place finish.
With a 17th place finish, they got 100.
Hey, that's going to go a long way with that team.
It'll go a long way with that team.
Looked pretty good at Dega too. Ford cut the tire. So,
yep. So Sieg did get the 100,000.
Oh, yeah. He beat out his Dinger. What, well, Dinger wreck?
Yeah, Dinger got in that wreck. Yep. And then, I mean, poor Sam, he went from hero to zero. Like, won the week before and finished second last in this week.
Well, I can tell you now, if Riley Herbst, who's the other one? Riley Herbst, and who's the other guy that it's in the 100K this year? This week, because the other two. I mean,
Alfredo, he finished third.
Yeah, Pasta's probably in there.
Yeah,
Honeyman's in there.
Honeyman, yeah,
and Brendan Poole.
Yeah,
it's top five, right?
No, top four.
Top four.
Oh, then it's Honeyman, Alfredo, Herbst, and Love.
So, realistically, Love should win him 100,000, but you know, we'll see about that one.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Leland Honeyman's going to win Saturday. Calling it now.
Hey, I like how this guy thinks.
Yeah.
He's got
more than
you.
That is a bold prediction right there.
Hey, I made a bold prediction. I made a bet with my co-host after Atlanta. I made a $25 bet that Todd Gillen was going to win Talladega, and I lost that.
You didn't lose it by much.
So
he actually ran pretty good all day. I had him in my grudge. I couldn't switch him either. I was out. I couldn't switch him out.
I had Joey Logano in my garage, and I'm like, should I pull him out? He's run. He won stage two. I'm leaving him in the garage, and I'm glad I left him in the garage. I'm glad I did. It worked out.
I swear, one of these days, Michael's going to drive to Kentucky. I swear it's going to happen.
Come on, come on. They got the bridge fixed in Memphis.
Who says I'm going through Memphis?
Results, please, for Talladega there, Michael.
Hang on. I just messed it up. All right, here we go. Jesse Love was the winner. Riley Herb, second. Anthony Alfredo, third. Leland Honeyman, fourth. Brendan Poole, fifth. Sheldon Creed, sixth. Caesar Barcella, seventh.
Barcarelli.
I have butchered some names this weekend, so add that to the list. Matt Benedetto, how do you say Burrito's name? Benedetto. And Jeff Burton actually managed the top 10 finish. And then Cole Custer ran that.
Jeff Burton managed
the
top 20 finish.
Oh,
we got another Jeff Burton lover in the group. Yes. Oh, I love it. What? I love it.
Hey, I'm just saying he hadn't finished top 20 all year, I don't think, for this race. He was like 26 in points. Yes. So good day for him, but needs a lot more.
Okay.
We hit the sore spot with Willie. Sorry, Willie.
Sorry for cussing. Look, it has been a very, very rough year for Jeff Burton, okay? A very, 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 very.
He's below Haley Deegan in points, so I'd say.
Let him have it, Sam. Let him have it.
I'm sorry. No disrespect. He's a great guy. I'm happy that he's won some races, but I mean, he should not be below some of the drivers he's below. I'll say that.
Well, it gets caught up in other people's wrecks. So
one of them wins should have an asterisk out beside it.
Because it rained?
Because it rained.
Joey Logano got his first win out of rain.
Well, look how many he got after that, though.
Oh, how many has he got afterwards?
How many championships does he got compared to that Family Dollar car back there behind you?
Eric ain't got a championship.
That's right, he doesn't. And don't you
43 cars got a few.
He's got a lot.
He's got a few.
And the owner of the 43 cars got quite a few, too.
You can put an asterisk mark every one of his championships, too.
Oh.
I am not a Jimmy Johnson fan.
Sam, you'll learn. You've got the not Jimmy Johnson fan that's behind the 22 car. You've got the conspiracy theorist off to the other side over here. And Black Helicopter Central. Whatever he can figure out for Black Helicopter. And I'm the Canadian that seems to be the only kind of sane one out of the two. So I have to try to control them a little bit. But, you know.
You are to see our group chat.
Our group chat gets interesting.
You're a Canadian in the sea of Arkansans, so.
Pretty much.
Whoa, I'm going to tell you. y'all are Kansas little brothers, so, you know.
No, sir. I don't think so, Jack.
No, Liberty don't Ford, go down that road.
Sweet 16.
All right.
You got fantasy up there, Michael, for review?
Yeah. All right.
You don't do Talladega first there, boy. You got to wait your turn.
And I won Texas.
Don't dust yourself off, because wait till you hear your points total.
Texas. Matt finished second. You finished third, Willie. Keith finished fourth. Jeremy Klein fifth. Jerry Klein sixth. Dirt Buster, then Daniel. They tied for seventh.
Daniel.
Talladega. Willie won. Jerry finished second.
Can we get Daniel the points third. Total on that win there, Michael?
The what?
his points total, what he won with for points, because
it was like 150 or 160.
Oh, yeah, Talladega, he won with 142 points.
Yeah, hey,
it's Dega.
But the winner had over 180 when it was, or 170 when it was finished the first time, before they readjusted everything.
Who was the winner the first time?
The first time, I think, was Keith or Jeremy.
Wasn't me. I know it wasn't me. I put in the world. I
know, because I, Matt didn't even have 100 points.
No, I put the world's worst throwaway lineup ever in fantasy this week, by far. I just went and said, nope, I'm going to throw the throwaway.
I went from third to fifth. But you won, Willie. Jerry Klein second. Daniel's third. Daniel was down in the basement, and he jumped back up through there. So was Keith, I think. Or he might have won. I can't remember. It was one and two. Then it was me. Then it's Matt. Then Jeremy. Then the Dirt Buster.
So
I don't think Dirt Buster's playing it anymore.
No, I don't think he is. So what about, I mean, what was the big cry about? I've seen a lot of tweets, but Daniel Suarez finished 26th, and I think he said he should have finished like top 15. I mean, did it not go back to video?
They must have gone back to video because they adjusted a whole bunch of it.
But the caution never come out, correct? I don't think
the caution did come out.
I don't think it did. Because if the caution would have come out, Brad would have won. They let it play out, and then that, and then Reddick crossed the line. Because Brad was thinking it was over. Because, I mean, he was out of the throttle.
Not sure.
So, I don't know.
Sure on that one. You haven't got into the NASCAR officials rankings yet there, Willie. So, you know, once you do that, then you'll get a little more insight and help us out on that, right?
Yeah.
But let me round out the points on this. Daniel's your leader. You're second, Matt. I'm third. Jeremy's fourth. Dirt Buster's fifth. Actually, Dirt Buster's tied for fifth with Keith. Willie, you're seventh, and Jerry is eighth.
I'm making a rally. Don't y'all leave
making
me alone.
Making a rally. Rally to the back?
No.
I don't know how you're going to make a rally from the basement this far into the fantasy season.
We still got 16 races to go before they even playoffs start.
You're 10 in, though, and you're second from last.
That's kind of like his analogy. It's still early, boys. It's still early with Jones back there.
Jones didn't worry about his health because he might be missing some races.
We're hoping not.
I'd say he probably gonna miss some.
Anyway, if you guys want to join our fantasy league or join out our fantasy league, because I can't type, you can search Reading Racing Media. Come on in and join us. Have some fun. Hopefully I can keep the streak up, keep Daniel on his toes a little bit. That's what we're aiming for anyway there. So
just put it in the chat.
Fantasy preview for Dover. You know, because we got our special guest, Sam. Sam, who are you going to be going for your fantasy at Dover?
I've got two guys in mind. Well, I say two, maybe four guys in mind right off the bat. So William Byron, Kyle Larson, just by default, probably the two best drivers in the Cup Series this year so far. And then Martin Truex and Ross Chastain.
You just hit a nerve with Willie big time.
No, I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sure Rick Jones fits into that category this year anyway. But
where'd you get this guy?
He found me on the deep web, man.
And I didn't tell him to say none of that either.
No, this is all unscripted. All unscripted.
Well, all right.
Oh, man. But yeah, Larson, Byron, and then Truex, Chastain are two guys I'm putting in there. They're the top two there last year. I'm probably putting Chase Elliott in there. Won the first race there with the next gen car. And it's five and then one in the garage, right? Okay. I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm a Bubba fan, but Bubba's not very good at Dover. I'm not going to put him up in there. I'll go Chris Buescher. Finished ninth here last year, I think. So I'll go him. Solid pick. He's been incredibly consistent these last couple of years. So I'll put Buescher in the garage and see how it shakes out.
All right. Willie, you're the other guest, so we'll put you next. I mean, well, I already know Byron and Larson ain't going to be anywhere near your lineup.
I think you had to put Truex for sure in there. I think he's probably your favorite. Really, really good at Northeast tracks, right? So I think you put Bell in there. Christopher Bell would be another one that I think would be pretty good. I hate to do it, but I mean, I think Bowman would be another one I'd put in there. He'd be really strong. Chase would be, what is that, four? So Chase would be four. Fifth one, it's kind of up in the air. But I would put Gibbs. I think it's more of Gibbs.
He's going to get like one for sure.
Yeah.
That one's coming at some point.
If he doesn't get one this year, I'll be shocked.
As bad as it hurt me, I mean, like stabbed me in the chest, I probably have to put Logano in the garage. As bad as it hurts me.
Mm. Yeah, Michael didn't hear you the first time. He wants to repeat
I'm not
that.
Saying it again. I'm not. So if you didn't hear me, oh well.
Deal All right, it. Michael. So what's your expert opinion this week?
Well, this week I will have to say Truex for sure. Bowman, Ross Chastain, Ty Gibbs.
I mean, you want my paper? Where's that?
No.
Okay.
Maybe Blaney, but I doubt it. And Blaney's probably really not Brad. And I'm gonna throw Brad in there too.
I'll tell you one would surprise you would be Josh Berry at Dover.
Mm. Yeah. Good on short tracks.
Yeah, he's kind of the one that I'm
he was really good at Xfinity.
I'm on the fence about him, about potentially putting him as my garage pick. But, you know, my personal lineup, I mean, if you don't, let's be honest, I think if you don't start Truex this week, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, really, at the end.
He's your favorite. It's more, it falls into fuel mileage there, so he's great at fuel mileage.
But I think you got to start him. I agree with you guys. I think Chase Elliott, with the momentum he's got and everything, and I know he's pretty good at Dover, I think that's going to be, you know, he's going to be in my lineup. I think I'm going to go probably Bowman too. I think this is his kind of racetrack. He does fairly well here at Dover. Toyota side, I think I'd probably going to start Gibbs. I would say probably would be another one that I would be starting. Ford camp. The problem is Fords just right now are just, they can't win. So it's like, how do you start them? How do you start a Ford right now?
I can't. I believe Honda would do better in their first race than any Ford right now.
Oh, geez.
Maybe.
I mean, if I'm gonna put a Ford in there, I'm probably putting Logano just because of track and what it is. Garage driver, he's
good close to home.
Garage driver, I'm like one of those things where I like, do I put in a garage driver that I'm not sure about, like Josh Berry possibly could pull something out of the hat, or do I put a Kyle Larson or William Byron in the garage as the
Jimmy Johnson.
Oh, he's running this week. I forgot.
Well, that's a guaranteed yellow.
Going for a lead lap finish two races in a row. See if he can get it.
I'm worried about Jimmy Johnson starting at Dover with how much trouble he's having running this car.
Man, his Dover average finish is about to plummet.
Oof. He'd wreck a drag car going straight.
You know, you could put William Byron or Kyle Larson. Probably that's where my garage is probably going to go. It's going to be. I just haven't decided yet. I mean,
I'd say Larson probably your best bet on that one.
My problem is that with Byron, it's hard for me because the problem is that I look at him right now and he's the one that's super hot on road courses. So I'm trying to keep some of those starts for road courses for him.
I want to bring up something right quick. I know y'all have got to notice this. Richmond, Texas, and Talladega. Who is wearing the golden horseshoe? It has to be Kyle Larson. He gets turned, and he gets his spot back more or less at Richmond there towards the end. He goes down those laps at Texas and gets them back, just boom, boom, back on the lead lap.
But he only finished 22nd at Texas. Or 20th. It wasn't a great finish for him at Texas.
Well, that's because he got wrecked, but still he managed to get back on the lead lap pretty quick. And then at Talladega, he has the pass-through penalty. Stage one, he's right back on the lead lap, like nothing.
Well, I mean, I'm almost
raising him right now. He's,
well, you can't was help it stage when... two?
But
or he got he got back on the lead lap, I think, in stage one, but I think he finished like third or fourth in stage two. He had a good car.
He got good stage points, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's... So,
let's go back to Richmond, right? You said he spins out, right, and he gets his spot back. He really technically didn't get his spot back because he kept going. NASCAR don't have an end-of-the-line penalty for a car that loses forward motion, right? Like the short tracks, if you lose forward motion, you bring out the yellow, you're going to the back. They don't have that rule. So he kept his momentum and went to the back to his spot because he didn't lose track position.
Well, that's just what I'm saying, though. He's been having bad luck, but then again, no bad luck from the bad luck. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I mean, that's how championships are made, won and lost, right? It's that kind of a deal. And I'm not going to plug, you know, I mean, I could plug my 24 car behind me here because I don't think he's finished outside the top 10 in the last five races.
He's still behind Chase on average finishes on the cup car.
Well, yeah, he had that. What the heck race was it when he had that run real bad finish? But
yeah, everybody don't realize that either. They pulled that stat out.
Chase is having a very good year. I'm not going to deny that. He's had a very good recovery. I'm talking
about especially these last few
overall,
weeks.
Overall, I'm talking about the whole next gen. He's better average finish than any other driver. And all of the next gen era, he has the highest average finish.
People forget he was like the best driver all year in 2022. He won more races than anybody that year, and if he isn't spun by Chastain in the championship, he might be battling up there with who was it that year, Logano. So
are y'all talking about Chase?
Yeah.
Who has the most wins in the next gen?
Here we go. Yeah, he still chokes in the round of eight, but okay.
Muted him.
At least he makes it to the round of eight.
I like this guy. Sorry. We're gonna keep him around a little more often.
I'm sorry, it was low hanging fruit. Nothing against you, Eric Jones, but it was right there for the taking. I had to do it.
I mean, when you're spending all the money to lose. I mean, yeah.
And you should have been around. In 2022, when Eric Jones didn't make the playoffs and then he won Darlington.
Oh, man.
Holy cow. You should have seen. I swear I could have seen the steam coming from Kentucky.
Oh, man.
Eric, he was probably, like, oh, look, I want to race. And I'm like, look, doesn't matter. You're out of the. It's the playoffs are started. You're done.
Still a Southern 500.
As we're talking, I'm sure that Eric's probably in his last day, not days, but last year, probably. In the 43 car, I'd say that car is probably saved for a Toyota driver in the Xfinity series. I don't think they bring him back next year.
I'd rather boot Nemechek than boot Jones, honestly.
Well, they've spent so much money on Nemechek.
I mean, they have spent money on Nemechek, but I think Eric Jones is a better race car driver than John Hunter Nemechek is. That's just, I mean,
he's saving him a lot of money,
Jimmy Johnson. But that's true.
I mean, that was
they're wanting to expand, so
that was the discussion that Michael and I had at the beginning of the year in our podcast. We said, good thing Jimmy Johnson's got deep pockets because he's going to be paying for a lot of wrecked 42 cars this year.
Yeah. And it's turned out he wrecked both of them this week.
Yeah,
that wreck was all on the 42 car.
Yeah.
It was all on 42. I don't know if he was trying to go up and like get air, but he made Bubba move, and they was connected. He made Bubba like kind of block, and then they was running faster laps than anybody all race.
Yeah, and
that is the point. That is the point of the fuel saving. you ride around all race long, and then when it is time to go, you're not used to that situation. One simple move, and that was probably the most vicious wreck I think I've seen in the next gen.
Yeah.
But so,
well, that and Blaney's at Daytona last summer.
Yeah, Blaney's at Daytona was
bad.
Yeah.
Blaney's had a few of them already.
Yeah, Nashville last year too, when he hit that concrete, no safer barrier there, that was bad. And then in the duels,
I'll tell you a wreck that we got lucky with Saturday. That was Algar.
Yeah. Oh, that angled wall.
I tell you right now, they got to figure something out with that angled wall, because it got another one. It got Jeff Gordon. It got Jeff Gordon once, and now it got Algar once. It pushed the front wheel into the firewall.
At least it was a safer barrier that he hit, though. When Jeff hit that opening, that was no safer barrier. That was
concrete or anything. Yeah,
I'll never forget that, because I was at that race in Vegas.
But everybody was hollering, let's make it all asphalt. Let's make it all asphalt to slow the cars down. It didn't slow that car down one bit.
Mm-mm.
That car looked like it was gaining speed.
He just literally, of all the places, worst case scenario, right? Where it spun, how it slid down, and everything like that. It's like the wall juts out right there. And yeah, I mean, we shouldn't have walls that are out like that. I agree.
That wall is there basically to protect your emergency vehicles, because that's where they come out to respond to a wreck. They jet out of there like before the cars even stop. They're already out. You know?
But what I'm saying, Willie, is that I guarantee in this day and age, there's got to be a better way to design the opening so that it doesn't have that curvature to make it where guys are going to be hitting at a really bad angle.
Yeah, I got you.
And that's what I'm saying with that. I mean, you know, but.
Well, before we end it, I want to show everybody the loyalty program points. Let me bring this up. I haven't updated it, or I haven't shown it lately. Column on the right is for this show. Daniel's got 200 points. Willie's got 45. And then you kind of see the rest down there. Look like Spence Thompson with 26. No trivia tonight. Sorry, guys. There wasn't no trivia. Could have got more points that way. But that's updated from our last show. And
wasn't this where Logano got his first win? Or was it Pocono?
Oh, he got his first win at New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Yeah, his home track.
Yeah. He flipped at Dover in that 20 car.
That's right.
That was when I wasn't a Joey Logano fan. I'm straight Penske fan.
Oh, okay. I respect that.
So you're going to see somebody else in that 2 car next year?
No, I hope so. Cindric ain't. Well, you better see somebody else in the 21 too, because Harrison.
Oh, that's a given. I think you're going.
Is like late 2000s bad now, where they were having a merge of people. They have no speed. Harrison Burton's not the answer when you're merging with Penske and you can't run better than 31st. That's driver. So
I'd say you see Riley Herbst in that car, but that's just me.
I don't know. I mean, I tend to agree with you guys, because the thing is that the front row started that Alliance deal with Penske this year, and look at how much they've improved. They're outrunning the 21 car now. So it's like,
if anybody goes in that 2 car, I want it to be Michael McDowell.
I'd like that.
I don't know if you kick. I don't think you kick boss's son out, but that's just my opinion.
Well, if they need help firing him, just call me. I'll tell him he's fired.
But I mean, all seriousness, it's just like the Bowman situation, right? Ally is a partner in Hendrick Motorsports. They do all the underwriting for Hendrick cars. So that sponsorship ain't never going nowhere. Hendrick gets to pick whoever driver they get to have in that car. And I'm pretty sure it's the same way with the 2 car. You know, it's more like a partnership. It's not, okay, you pick the driver, and we're going to sponsor this driver. We're sponsoring the organization. We're not sponsoring the driver. Where you like, you know, same thing with Exalta. They're a partner with Hendrick. So, I mean, that's, you know, now Liberty is a sponsor of William Byron.
Exalta sponsors winners, though, Willie.
All right, I want to say this for I know. What are you? What is y'all's opinion on the scoring pylons? Right, I mean, now we saw Texas. That was a SMI track, and then we saw ISC, which is a NASCAR track, and both of them has abolished their scoring pylons. I mean,
I guess if you're there, it does make a difference, but at 100%. Home, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, if you're at the racetrack, that scoring pylon is your best friend. Now, granted, you cannot see it in the daytime. I can 100%, like, it's hard to see in the daytime because with the older one.
But I can get them taking them, but if they take the one in Indianapolis down, then there's a problem.
That won't never happen. That one won't never happen.
The thing about Texas, though, is that they've got Big Hoss, the big TV screen on the backstretch. And if you're running a, you know, they could be running a ticker the whole race with a lie or with a rundown, right?
Atlanta does it too. Atlanta has the ticker across the screen, but like you, I mean, what are you going to do if your guy's running 20th? You're going to wait till see if he's jumped up.
If I had to guess, Willie, I guarantee it's probably got something to do with line of sight. Got to be something with line of sight where it comes to the TV cameras.
I think it's got to do with that. They don't want to spend money on a new one.
Well, that could be too.
And I don't know how much it affects the other tracks, but you know, Kenny Wallace said it had to do with light bulbs at Talladega.
Well, yeah,
that was in the scoring pylons.
It's not LED, so them light bulbs are. I tell you right. We have a light bulb at my work right now, and it's $600 per light bulb to change, and it's just a red light. That's it, and it's $600 per light bulb to change, and they go out probably once every 2 months.
Well, so on that riveting note, we do have to wrap it up because we're at our hour. So thank you very much again to Willie and Sam for coming on and joining us.
Yeah, definitely.
Tonight.
Thank you, all guys.
Yeah, it was great having you on, Sam. Love having you, especially when you're totally against what Willie says. Makes our lives a lot easier.
Oh man, I didn't mean to be as out of pocket as I was tonight, but you know, I hadn't done.
Where
a show
are you?
Since
you from
night.
Again? What city are you from? Because when Jason I make Arkansas. The trip to Batesville, I can.
Hey, Sam, around here we kick each other when they're down. We kick them.
Amen. Hey,
while they're
you
down.
Gotta do that, right? Toughens us up. So.
If we don't have fun, if we're not doing this, if we're not having fun doing this, what's the point in doing it, right?
We're 2 minutes away from the Oilers getting their butt kicked by the Kings, so let's, you know.
Okay, on that riveting note, before I want to kick Willie's ass, we better wrap this up. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Good to see you. Hopefully we'll be back here next Monday, pending we don't have family emergencies or tornadoes or weather or hail or whatever has been hindering us the last week. And we'll be around to preview Dover for you and or review Dover. And I believe it's preview Kansas, I think, is the next week.
Yep.
Previews in Kansas. So. Have a great night. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah. And Wednesday night, I'll be back with the Announcer Mike Racing Podcast, where we will preview this coming week's race at Black Rock. And we will talk about what happened at Jonesboro this past weekend. But with that being said, we'll see you Wednesday night with myself. And have a good night, everybody. So long.
This was a Redding Racing Media production. Thanks for watching. We hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to like and subscribe our Facebook and YouTube channel under the Announcer Mike Racing Podcast. We will be back next Tuesday night at 8 Central. See you then.